So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a look at the life of David. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at the stories that talk about his life that we see in the Scriptures. And as we look at the Scriptures, as we look at these stories, we see a common thread that kind of goes through all of them. And what we see is that David had a big heart. That his heart really is what moves him and instructs him and leads him sometimes in very good ways and very influential ways, and sometimes not so good and not so influential. So every week, we're going to give you a heart. You should have received a heart in your bulletin today, a little yellow heart, and they've been falling all over the floor, so you may be missing yours. Mine's over there on the floor. But you're going to get one of those every week. It's going to be a different color, and that's for you to take home and for you to put somewhere. It's got a key verse on it for you to look at and to read and to think about and meditate throughout the week, to pray about. And then we're going to have a big heart that we are going to place on this board. And we've got our fingers crossed that it's going to stay there. And it's going to create a bigger heart, the heart of David. So today's heart is yellow, which represents the anointing, David's anointing. And David was anointed not because of his size, not because he looked the part, not because of his birthright, but he was anointed king because of his heart. His heart. He had a deserving heart. So we're going to place this here on our board. To remember the heart of David. So as we think about the different stories of David, we see that his heart leads him. It is his heart, it's because of his heart that he is anointed king. We find that the heart is the matter, that is what matters most to God. We'll see that his heart leads him to do amazing things, to have this amazing faith and to take down giants. And we'll see his heart flare with passion as he dances before the ark. And we'll see that passion playing out as he celebrates and worships. But then we're going to find that his heart leads him down a very bad path. It leads him to do one sin, and then he commits another one to cover it up. And it's an envious heart, a greedy heart. But then we're going to find that here David, the king of Israel, the greatest king that Israel has ever known, when he is called on his sin, he bows down and humbles himself before God and pleads for a clean heart. We're going to see that there is a time when David reacts with his heart, which is the right reaction, but it's too late, and it causes him great pain. The heart of David, an honest look at a man after God's heart. Some good, some not so good, but there are lessons that we can learn. So today we know that David is anointed because of his heart, because he has a big heart. And we begin to see that when we look out at things, that with our own eyes, not everything is the way that we assume. That not every value, not everything is good by how we perceive them, what our eyes tell us. And sometimes our eyes can mislead us because we don't look into the situation a little bit more. Our eyes can trick us. In fact, I came across a story this week, a kind of a funny story, about a little old lady who was finished shopping and she was going to her car and she had her bags in her hand. And when she got to her car, she saw that there were four big men in the car. And well, she was terrified and she dropped her bags. And though she was afraid, she was still very brave. She dropped her bags, reached into her purse and pulled out a handgun and started waving it at the men and yelling and saying, "I might be a little old lady, but I've got a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of my car." And those men didn't wait for a second invitation. They tore out of the car and started running like crazy. Well, the woman, she was a little shaken, and she went and put her things in the car, and she sat there, and she went to start the car, but try as she may, she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried over and again, and then she realized that her car was about five spaces down. So she got her bags, got into her car, started it up, drove off, and went right to the police station to turn herself in. And as she was telling her story to the officer, he almost fell out of his chair laughing, and then he pointed across the room where there were four men filing a report about a carjacking from a little old lady with a big gun. Sometimes our eyes deceive us. We think we see something that's happening. We think we see something of value, but we have to look a little bit deeper. We have to pay a little bit more attention. And that's what we see in our story today. God says to Samuel, "Do not look on the appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Today in our story, we are journeying once again to Bethlehem to anoint a king, an unlikely king, a king that no one else would have picked but God. He is not the biggest. He is not the strongest. He is not even the firstborn, but he has a big heart. Today we are journeying again to Bethlehem. And don't you remember that just a few months ago, we were journeying to Bethlehem to see another king, a newborn king, Christ the King. Here in this almost forgotten town, here in this place that nobody recognizes, here in the far-off places, out of sight almost, in the most ordinary and plain places of all, God delivers His kings. I think God is trying to send us a message. Of course, our story today comes before the Christmas story, but still, again, it's Bethlehem. And God is saying, don't look with eyes of mortals. Look deeper. There is something deeper, something more important than outward appearances. Samuel is on his way to Bethlehem to anoint a new king. That's kind of interesting because Israel already has a king. And usually you don't anoint a new king until the first king is gone. But God has given up on Saul. A few years back, the people of Israel were pleading with God, "Give us a king. We want a king. We want to be like the other nations." And God allowed it. And he had Samuel anoint Saul, who was tall and handsome and strong. He looked the kingly part. But Saul became impatient. He got tired of waiting for the old man Samuel to come around and perform the sacrifices. And so there was a time when he performed the sacrifice himself. He said, "I'm king. I'm chosen by God. I can do this." And God was not very happy with that. And Saul had a problem following orders. He didn't follow the orders of God, the directions of God, completely. And see, that was the thing. The judges, they weren't kings, but they listened to God. They always listened to God. And now Saul is letting this kingship kind of get to his head. He's making his own decisions, doing things his own way, thinking that he is capable, and he is not listening to God. And God says, I must find a new king. So he sends Samuel to Bethlehem, to one of Jesse's boys. So Jesse gets there, or Samuel gets there, gets to Jesse's place. They have a sacrifice. And he says, I need to see your boys, your children. And Jesse brings out seven of his children, and the first one is so big and so strong and just looks like he is king material. And Samuel says, surely this is him. And that's where we hear that key verse. Do not look on his appearance, on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see, for they look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And seven children go before Jesse, and God doesn't choose any of them. Goes before Samuel, and God doesn't choose any of them. And finally, Samuel says, do you have another? He said, yeah, we got a little boy, the youngest. He's out in the field keeping up with the sheep, but you don't want him. And Samuel says, we're not going to sit down until he comes. And finally, they send for David. He's the youngest of them all. He's been out in the field. I don't know what all experience he may have, but it doesn't matter. When he comes in, God says, this is the one. And Samuel breaks out the oil, the anointment, and anoints David king. The yellow on the heart symbolizes that anointment. He is anointed king because God has looked into his heart. The heart is the matter. It is what is important to God. And there's a lesson for us. There's good news for all of us in this truth. Because even if we don't look the part, even if we're not strong or tall or big or beautiful, even though we don't meet the standards that the rest of the world applies to us, we can grow in our hearts and we can have an extraordinary faith, even though we may look like just ordinary people. The heart is the matter. It's what's most important. And today, that's a message that we need to hear, that people, faithful people of God need to hear, the church needs to hear. Because today, like no other time, we have images that are thrown before us, telling us what we should value, telling us what beauty truly is, telling us what we should wear and what we should drive and where we should live, and showing us that we need to have these kind of abilities and these kind of strengths to be somebody. But David didn't have any of that at the time. He was anointed because of his heart. And our heart is something that can grow. It's something that can change. And as a church, we need to pay attention to this. Because in the church, sometimes we think, if we have the biggest building, if we have the most beautiful building, if we have the strongest programs, that that's going to mean something. That we see churches today putting on these big productions, these rock concerts almost, and maybe that is helpful and relevant in a way, but sometimes it's all about the show and all about the appearance. But God isn't concerned about the appearance. He's concerned about the heart. And we get caught up in these big mega churches, but what we don't realize is that God can work in the very small churches if those churches are motivated by the heart, by love and faith and dedication to God. And the heart can grow, the heart can change, and it can create its own beauty. There's an old African legend that talks about a tribe that used to meet at an oasis at a watering hole. And the men would come there to find their wives. The older men would come and bring their daughters, and the young men would show up. And the way it worked is they would look out at the women, and if they found one that was very attractive, they would go up to the father and they would say, "I will give you 4 or 5 goats to have your daughter." And the father would have to agree to it. But if she was just a plain-looking woman, just an ordinary-looking woman, they may come up and say, "I'll just give you 1 or 2 goats." And that's how the system worked. Well, one year, this young man came, and there was just a very plain-looking woman. You might even say she was ugly. And the young man went up to the father and he said, "I will give you 10 goats for your daughter." Well, of course, the father agreed, and he quickly took it and he celebrated his fortune, and they took off and got married. Well, the next year, as they were gathering together, the other young men were kind of poking fun at the one man who had bought the 10-goat wife. And they were saying, "Can you believe what he's done?" And making fun and laughing at his expense. And finally he appears. And they give him a hard time. "How is your 10-goat wife? Where is she now? Why don't you bring her out?" And finally he said, "Have you not seen my wife lately?" And then she appeared. And she was the most beautiful woman that they had ever seen. Beauty came out of her because her husband loved her enough. He saw beauty inside of her enough to give 10 goats, an extraordinary price. And that changed something in her. She saw value in herself, and her beauty just began to pour out. And we as Christians, if we forget about the fact that maybe we don't look the part, or maybe we don't have certain gifts, maybe we can't sing or speak or pray beautiful prayers, or maybe we don't have organizational skills or whatever is needed, maybe if we just realize that God really loves us, He truly loves us how we are, then that heart will grow and a beauty will break out as we begin to love, as we begin to be faithful to God, and beauty will pour out of our hearts. Heart is the matter. It's the reason David was anointed, not because he was firstborn, not because of his ability, but because of his heart. And our hearts can grow and change. Julius Hodge, who was an excellent basketball player at NC State, ACC Player of the Year, used to say that champions are made when no one is watching. And I'm sure he was quoting somebody when he said that. But he used to say, champions are made when no one is watching. And of course, what he meant was that it's in the time in the gym when you're working out on the practice court, when you're taking those extra shots and running those extra laps, that's when champions are made. And we see that is true for us in a little bit of different way. How is it that David's heart grew? It grew in a time when no one was there, when no one could see him. It grew there out in the field, out with the sheep, as he was caring for them and tending to them and protecting them. And we hear it from his own words in another story. He says, "When a lion or a wolf would come after them, I would take my staff or I would take my sling and would fight them off, and God would protect me. And this faith in God grew out there in the field, and his heart grew. And so can ours. Forget about the outward appearance. Forget about all these other things. The heart is the matter. And our hearts can grow and change. I think one of the most powerful stories recently about the heart is the movie Rudy. I don't know if you've seen the movie Rudy, but it's a story about a man who loved football, and he loved Notre Dame football. And his dream was to go and to play football at Notre Dame. The problem was that he was really small, he had no athletic ability, and he wasn't very academically gifted. And Notre Dame had the most gifted athletes, and had the most gifted athletes from out the country, big men. But he was determined. And he went to the university, and he tried really hard, and it took him years to get accepted into the school. And then he made the practice team. He didn't make the real team, he made the practice team, where the real team would beat up on them. But he was determined and determined and determined. And finally he asked if on his last game of his last year of eligibility, if he could go out, if he could be a part of the team, so his family could see it. His dream could be realized. And his dream was realized not because of his ability, but because of his heart. And if everything works out right, we're going to take a look at the last part of the scene. Let's take a look.
Well, I got to tell you, it's just occurred to me that these two parties have been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the meaning of Rudy.
For Rudy, his dream was realized because of his heart. And that heart was determination for him. For us, the heart is faith in God. It's to put our faith in God, to allow that love to pour out. And the question is where is our heart? Where is your heart? Because height, beauty, ability, none of that matters. The heart is the matter. May our hearts grow in God. Amen.